Hey friend, Megan here. I have a question for you. Are you feeling overwhelmed by all the things on your calendar? If you're wondering what to say yes to and what to say no to and let go of, I want to invite you to consider downloading the Holy Spirit Stoplight. This is a simple, prayerful tool to help you decide. Red means release, pause, let go. Yellow means wait and discern. Green means go and focus with peace and confidence. It's time to align your schedule with God's voice. So you can download it free at holyspiritstoplight.com. That's holyspiritstoplight.com, and start saying yes to what matters most.
You have some skills and talents that you can use. The only thing that's stopping you from pursuing this path and doing this is just fear of the unknown. And that's when I had to really just own that and be like, okay, this is just fear that's stopping me. And what's the worst that can happen?
Welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Nilsson, speaker, author, and yes, life coach. This is the place where you will get to anchor your identity in Jesus. Learn how to hear the voice of God and get aligned with His will for your life and get activated into your next bold step of faith. Let's get going. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to introduce you to my friend Tamara Jackson, who lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. And God's been speaking to me about Charlotte. All I'm going to say at the top of this show, like, the word Charlotte has dropped in my mind for a number of reasons. And so I pay attention every time that word, that name, that place comes up. So I don't know what's going on today, but I'm just telling you right now in faith, something. So he's doing something.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to introduce you all to Tamara, who is a faith-based leadership consultant, podcaster, yay, and speaker. She guides leaders to access their inner wisdom through intentional decision-making practices. Girl, I need you because I'm like the classic overthinker. I think people become a coach because they're like, well, I can't figure out my own life. I need to hire someone else to figure out my life. Help me. That's right. So I might get some free coaching on this call with you too.
Let's do it.
She has over two decades of executive and entrepreneurial experience, and you developed the GRASP Faith Framework. Mm-hmm. So you're definitely going to have to tell us about that acronym, GRASP, helping professionals navigate uncertainty with clarity and purpose. You're my girl, helping people get clarity and find their purpose. That's amazing. Her approach combines strategic thinking with reflective pauses. Yes and amen. We got to stop and think about it for a minute. Creating space for wisdom to emerge even in high pressure situations. So if you're in the pressure cooker, you can help people make quick Holy Spirit led decisions and not be like, oh crap, what am I supposed to do right now?
There you go.
Okay. Where were you? I needed you like 20 years ago. I probably need you today, but I'm like,
I wasn't ready for you then.
I probably wasn't ready for you then. So there we go. She's helped hundreds of entrepreneurs transform their rushed reactions into thoughtful responses. And you empower your clients to make decisions aligned with practical business needs and deeper personal values, especially during economic, dun, 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 and global uncertainty.
Yes.
Whatever are you talking about,
Tara? I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't know why your work is relevant today. So anyway, welcome to the Kingdom Life Coaching Podcast. I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. Looking forward to this conversation. We're talking about, you know, my favorite things right now is, you know, allowing the Spirit to lead you, which is, as you've alluded to, sometimes a little more difficult than we would think.
Okay, so we're going to hop in the Wayback Machine first before we get to this treasure trove of information that I just dropped. I'm like, wait, what's that? What's that? What's that? So we're going to get there. But take me back to your childhood. What was your faith life? What was the culture like, your faith life growing up? What were you surrounded by? And then walk us through kind of how you grew up. And then when did you really grab onto this Christian faith, grab onto following Jesus for yourself and remember, oh, this is my faith. And when do you remember hearing God's voice for the first time? So kind of take us on that journey.
On a journey. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I started out in church at age 9. My mother came to Christ and, you know, by default, I guess I would say, I thought, wow, it was a Pentecostal church. So there was a very strong message of, hey, you know, give your life to Christ, make him your number one priority, or, you know, a little bit of the hellfire and brimstone message, right? So for me, I will say, honestly, a lot of it early on was motivated by just not wanting that, right?
You're like, I don't want the alternative.
I don't want the alternative. So I want to give my life to Christ because I want to be saved.
I don't want to go to hell. That's exactly right.
So that was kind of the initial focus.
Mom came to the Lord, by the way? Did she come through that same channel?
Church,
did your mom?
Same church. Okay. Yep. Okay. So we kind of went to church together. Now, I'm not sure how she processed it. I can only speak to how I processed it with my little 9-year-old brain. And so that's kind of how.
But clearly, you were aware that there were two places to go, and you wanted to go to the good place.
That's right. Okay. Exactly right. And so that kind of began a journey for me, though, I would say, looking back now, of like following Christ because I want to avoid this versus truly, I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to make him Lord of my life and truly be led in my decisions and how I approach life. So I will tell you transparently, initially it was just out of fear. It was out of fear. So growing up, that's kind of how I saw my relationship with God, is more of the corrector, the disciplinarian. That's really how I saw God. So wanting to avoid that. But what's interesting though, Megan, is even though that's how I saw God, I was still, you know, there were many times that I was a typical teenager and not where I was supposed to be.
I was like, so were you a good girl then?
No, not all the time. No. But what was interesting is I always felt like there were these eyes, like, so I'm going to like feeling like at some point there's going to be this, you know, correction or this trouble or something that I'm going to have to pay, you know, in essence for these instances where I made that.
But you were willing, you're like, I got enough in my bank account. I'll pay for this later. I guess
that's how I thought of it, right? Because it wasn't always enough to change my decision. So I would say that I was kind of dancing between those two worlds, if you will, so to say. And then I get to college and now I'm off on my own for the first time. And I had all this freedom to make whatever decisions I wanted without, you know, my mom or my dad, you know, kind of with their oversight.
No one's hovering,
right? And so what was interesting, though, I will say that time period really taught me a lot. Because while I saw a lot of my peers going way out there, I was still kind of in that space of that dance, but being afraid to go too far. And so I feel like God was, even in that, was watching over and protecting me and kind of putting a hedge around me that wouldn't, it was like there was some invisible force that was keeping me from going, but so far with that.
Totally, you know? Off the edge.
Yeah. So I'm the designated driver for my friends. Yeah, I'm still at the party, but I'm the designated driver for my friends, all of these types of things, right? So fast forward, I leave college. I come back to my hometown, Richmond, Virginia. Things had not quite worked out like I thought. You know, I thought I would leave college, I would get this high-powered job, I would move away, and all would be well.
What were you studying? What was this dream job that you were going to get?
Yeah, so I went to Virginia Tech, and my goal was to actually be a stockbroker. My degree was in business finance, and I thought, hey, you know, I'm going to be on Wall Street, or at the very least, you know, still working in this, you know, investment arena. And I really picked that because I felt like that was going to be a path where I could earn a lot of money. I could have a great lifestyle, right? So really that was my motivator. But transparently, I wasn't the best student in high school. I was able to get good grades without doing a whole lot of studying, which caught up with me when I got to college. So it didn't work out because my grades were okay, but they weren't great. And so my peers really crushed it, right? They had 3.0, 4.0 grade point averages. And those were the types of students that the big companies were really looking for. So it was definitely a reality check, brought me back home and trying to figure out, okay, where do I go from here? And there was a good stretch where I was literally taking temp jobs. I couldn't find a job. I wasn't sure where, you know, life was going. And that was an interesting space to be in because, you know, like many of us, I had this dream and this vision of what I thought my life would be. It wasn't coming to fruition. And so I felt myself kind of out there floundering.
How did that affect your faith? I mean, were you like, wait, God, I thought you were leading me here? Or was God not really in the picture? Like it was still kind of fire insurance or...
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think that was at that moment, I wouldn't say that, you know, God was front and center in my life. It was certainly a part of my life. I was still going to church, especially since I was back home, kind of back in, you know, my routine of going to church. But he wasn't, I like to think of it this way. He wasn't truly Lord. He was Savior, but he was not Lord of my life, right?
Okay.
And so I don't even know if I really...
There's a difference.
Yeah, there's a huge difference. I don't know if I really thought about it as like, God, you know, what are you doing? Why isn't this working out? You know, I think I was in a space of trying to figure out what I needed to do because I felt like I could kind of make things happen. I could, so to say, you know, there's a lot of thoughts around this, like you can control your own destiny. So, you know, who do I need to connect with? Where do I need to apply? What do I need to do for these doors?
I mean,
to
in
open
some ways, that's wisdom. If I was your mom, I'd be like, yeah, those are good questions. Where do you need to apply? Who do you need to talk to? Like, I'm like, and?
So that
you're
was
totally
that was
on
really
the wrong
main,
track.
Exactly. So that was the main focus that I was, you know, leaning into. And even all of that, right, didn't quite work out like I thought. So I ended up having to take a temp job that ultimately led to a full-time job, but a really hard full-time job that didn't even pay very well. So here I'm like, man, I thought, you know, I was going to get this degree. I was going to earn, you know, a greater salary. And I was thinking, man, this is definitely not the start that I was looking for. So
you were going to be walking Wall Street in your stilettos and that was not happening.
It was not happening at all. But at the same time, this is where, to answer one of your questions from earlier, this is where I start to see the hand of God in my life. Because from the standpoint of staring me like, okay, this is where you are, but you're not supposed to stay here. I remember having this feeling of like, you're not supposed to stay here. And so I continued to look for opportunities. A door opened for me to work for a bank. And I started to realize, okay, well, this could be a career path that I kind of like. I like this environment. I like the standards. I feel like, you know, I'm able to actually help people. You know, I started out as a personal banker inside the bank, helping people open their checking accounts and all of that. So I felt like I was being helpful. And I saw that there could be a career path here. And so I think that's when I started to kind of realize that, you know, things don't always kind of go the direction that you think they will, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the story is over. And remaining hopeful, and I would say I did have a degree of faith that things could change, that things could turn around. That's when I started to really get that, because once I stepped into that first banking position and then realized, hey, now that I know a little bit about banking, I can keep looking. And I ended up, you know, moving over to another bank. And then that was when my career really started to take off. I started to see, wow, I can do this and I can do that. And next thing you know, I've had I had 13 different positions with the same employer. And was able to grow and try all these different things. And I could certainly see as I was going through that journey that the opportunities that I was presented with, the people that were willing to mentor me truly blew my mind, right? Because they didn't have to, they weren't getting compensated for it. But there was something in them that saw something in me where they wanted to help me. And that's where I think I started to really see God's hand in my life.
Yeah, that's interesting when you think back about the providence of God. And can you imagine, like, what do you think he was showing you and teaching you? Say you had landed that, you know, golden job on Wall Street, and here you are, stockbroker extraordinaire. You're like 25 years old, just killing it, versus going back home, making the connections, working your way up, you know, one step at a time. What kind of refinement was he doing? Like, how do you understand his hand at work in your life? that route.
So I think, you know, some of it is just flat out humility, right? Just realizing that you may not, you know, be as awesome as you think you are. I mean, you are, you're fearfully and wonderfully made
in the image of God, but we got to do some work still.
But there's still absolutely some work that needs to be done. You know, I was reflecting on that a little bit earlier today. I've done a few podcast interviews and I realize now that, I thought I had it made in high school and I just thought things were going to fall into place. Mm-hmm. And I needed to learn the lesson that's not how life really works. Mm-hmm. You do have to do the work for what you want. But also what I've learned over time since then is that you can also do the work and there still be some things that are outside of your control. So there's Absolutely. This balance mm-hmm. of doing the things that you need to do practically, but also investing in your relationship spiritually, because there is so much that is out. I realize that more and more. There's so much that's outside of my control, but I mm-hmm. can control building a relationship with
How
God
you
that
show
keeps
up,
me
what
at
you're
peace.
Doing.
Yes.
Absolutely. So when does Jesus become Lord of your life?
Yeah. So this is an interesting thing because I was thinking about, you know, you send us some questions to help us kind of prepare mm-hmm. for this conversation. And I was like, when was the first time I really felt like, you know, Jesus was Lord? And you also asked, like, when did I hear God's voice? And I really had to like pause and say, God, like, help me with this, because I'm not really sure of the answer. I'm like, I think of all these different mm-hmm. experiences that I had, but when did that really happen? And he took me back to an experience that I have recalled off and on over the years. It's actually mm-hmm. recorded in my phone. I've had many, many phones since then, but because I'm an iPhone user, I'm a team Apple, it goes with me. So there's this note in my mm-hmm. phone from September 1st, 2013, September 1st, 2013. Okay. I had gone back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had gone back mm-hmm. to Virginia Tech just because it had been so long since I graduated. I graduated in 1995. It was like, I need to go back to campus, see what's going on. So I decided to take this trip, just get away and see what had happened with campus. While I was there, I learned about this place that wasn't far away from campus called Cascade Falls. And it was a solo trip. I don't know why, but I just decided I wanted, and I had this thing and still do this thing for waterfalls. So I was like, I want to see this waterfall. So I decide one of the mornings that I am there that I am going to go out to this waterfall and I'm going to check it out. And what's interesting is, although I can't honestly recall a time prior to that, that I really heard God audibly speak to me, I heard it on that hike. So much so that I wrote like this entire paragraph of notes of the things that he was saying to me. And this time frame was important because I was still in my corporate career. Things had really started to take off. I was seeing the advancement opportunities, my salary was going, like I was like on this fast track. And at the same time, I felt God calling me to entrepreneurship. So I was kind of corporate career. And then now what we would call the side hustle culture. I had my side hustle on the side. So I was literally 6 months into deciding to do this side hustle. And on this journey, on this, you know, this solo hike in Cascade Falls, he's telling me literally about what I am going to encounter in the coming years. Mm. Now I am, you know, hearing this, and interestingly enough, I'm calm. I'm enjoying the hike. I'm like, oh, you know, I feel like God is speaking to me, and I'm aware enough to realize that I need to take notes of this. But these weren't actually cool notes. These were like,
it's like the prophet. Jeremiah, name any Old Testament prophet was like,
oh,
in your ear.
God.
You're like, wait, whoa.
It was
warning.
It was rough. Like, I actually looked at it. I'm gonna pull it back up. I looked at it before I hopped in this call, and I've looked at it a few times over the years, and I'm like, man, like, how are you like so positive taking this, you know, and writing this down? But when I look at it, it literally was, your words are absolutely right. It was a prophecy of what life would be like from that point. And so now in some ways, even though it was a really hard period, the journey from 2013 up until, I would say, honestly, towards the end of last year has been a really up and down tumultuous period. While there were certainly some high notes and people outside looking in would say, oh man, that's amazing. There's so many things that I've gone through and endured in that period that were called out here. So it gives me comfort though, in a way, like, God
warned
you.
Can you give us a little glimpse?
Yeah,
can you give us a little
I can.
What was the prophet telling you? Yeah.
Yeah. So this was literally what I was writing down as I was taking the hike. I wrote, no one is in front of you. No one is behind you. Sometimes it's going to feel like you're on this journey alone, but I am here with you. Sometimes the road will be smooth like this one. At other times, it will be rocky and appear dangerous. Keep moving. I am with you. Not long ago, you would not have been able to climb this mountain, but now even the harder parts you take with relative ease because I've prepared you for this. All the training you've been putting in makes this possible. And then it goes on, but you can see kind of the tone, right? This is not like, oh man, this is amazing. Everything's going to be awesome. This was like, oh my God, like this is going to be a journey, right?
He's fortifying you for the journey. What do you think? What do you think, are there any clues as to why that place, that time, that space, why that divine download came then? Or you're like, I don't know, God just chose it and here it was. Like, how were you open to it? I'm just curious.
I think a couple of things that I've realized about myself is, for some reason, being outside in nature is really, really helpful to me. To the point that I actually took a walk before the earlier podcast interview that I had and one before this one. It just, I don't know, for some reason I feel more connected. I'm able to more clearly hear. I tend to kind of block out all the other noise. And so maybe it was partly, I'm sure there were other things, but partly just the environment that I was in. And I was by myself. Yeah, I didn't have like my friends with me to be able to be speaking in my ear or distracting me with this and that. It was just me. And I was out there in the elements. And, you know, I think it was just an environment where there was enough calmness and peaceness to be able to actually hear.
Yeah. I love dissecting and looking for clues because it helps the rest of us kind of go, huh, when does God speak to me? And where do I need to be? And, you know, I think sometimes when we're in our jobs or in our homes, just all the to-do list, the people, the needs are just kind of pressing in. And you had this nudge, first of all, to go back to visit campus. So interesting. Like Holy Spirit's like, go back and visit campus. Yeah. And then Holy Spirit's like, well, go see the Cascade Falls. Like you love waterfalls. So you're paying attention to the internal kind of promptings. Mm-hmm. You don't know why, but you're saying yes to them. Then you're on this hike and he's downloading it so much that you're like, I got to write this down. I got to write this down. How has this come true for you?
Oh my gosh. I don't even know if we have enough time to be quite honest.
Part two, part three, part four. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know if we have enough time, but I'll sum it up this way. The business that I had started then was based on my desire and I felt my calling to help others that had struggled with eating healthier and working out consistently, because that was a journey that I was on. So being able to do this hike was truly an amazing feat from where I had been. So
yeah. So when Holy Spirit's telling you, you can do this now, you're like literally hiking. Yeah. It was a literal message, not just a metaphorical message.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I had this passion to help others, but I didn't know, quite honestly, how to run my own business. Yeah, I was telling someone this earlier. I know people have varying opinions about corporate environments. It was one that I actually thrived in. And one of the things that I realized as I stepped into entrepreneurship as my side hustle is that there were a lot of things that were taken care of for me in the corporate environment. So I didn't have to worry about branding because I was relying on the bank's brand, right? I had my own personal brand, but I had the bank's brand to rely on. They were covering, you know, the overhead. What I really needed to do was leverage my gift, skills, and talents to move the projects that I had forward. And now all of a sudden, like, I am all of these things. And I realized how much I did not know. So the journey of entrepreneurship, while I enjoyed what I was doing, I enjoyed the people that I was working with and the impact that I was able to make, I was really struggling to pull all these pieces together. Like, how do I consistently generate revenue? How do I make sure that I'm not doing everything? How can I get to a point where I can bring on people to help me with this and that? And then realizing, oh my goodness, this hiring process feels a little different now that it's my company versus hiring people within a corporate environment. So I just felt like there were so many things that I didn't know. I made a lot of what I call expensive mistakes. And then right when I felt like things were starting to come together, it was June 2019. And then here comes 2020 and everything is blown up. And then after, you know, trying to keep going, because I believed that that was my calling, what I was going to be doing for the rest of my life, I thought I would lead corporate and I would lead into this and this would be my focus. It didn't work out. Like, it all imploded literally Easter weekend, 2021. And I'm like, wow, what everything happened. I was in a fitness business. I had a physical location. We could not go into those facilities. We had to move everything online. There was so much competition. I had focused on trying to build a local presence and a local brand, but now everyone is online competing for the same clients. We had trouble covering the classes in an online environment. And long story short, it just got to a place where it was like talking about God speaking to me. He was like, this is done. This is over. And I'm like, what do you mean? This is like, how could this be happening? Like, I thought this was what I like. This was a time that I really felt pretty certain. Like, you can never be 100% certain, but I felt like I was certain based on the things that I had experienced, the people that had told me their lives had been changed and impacted, the people that I was working with. Like, this was what I was supposed to do. So how can it all be ending now? But it did.
So you're out of corporate. You've left that job. Now your entrepreneurship is in the tanker. So at this point, do you have income? Do you have a job, money? Like, what is that?
Yeah, I actually, interestingly enough, I had not left corporate yet. So I was still doing both of these things, right?
A little double dipping.
Double dipping, right? But I thought, again, I thought this was going to be the thing that I was going to be able to leave corporate for. And then it all just falls apart.
So you never fully left. So did you just hustle back into corporate then? Were you like, okay,
no,
now I'm going to find my shelter over here?
No, it's not the end of the story.
Okay, okay, let me know.
I got all kinds of stuff here. I got all kinds of stuff, right? So here's the thing, you know, I tell many people about this. While I, you know, stayed in my corporate career, there was always something that I knew I was supposed to be doing something else, something more. And so it would have been easy, and I did ask God that question, am I just to focus on my corporate career? And that answer was no. So I didn't just say, oh, well, that didn't work out. Let me just refocus on corporate. It was, okay, God, what am I supposed to do now? And what I heard was, again, hearing God's voice, focus on what you have left. Now, to me, that made zero sense because you just said it's not just focus on corporate. The thing that I thought I would do has totally fallen apart. So what do I have left? Well, what had happened during the pandemic is, since there were a lot of things that we could not do, my mind does tend to think about, well, what can I do? And I had conversations with friends and they were like, you know, someone should really do an online event focused on this. And I was like, well, I know how to do that. So I started doing these online events, and one of them was focused on helping people write and publish their books, because that was something that people had often asked me about. That was one of the other things that I had done in 2013, was publish my first book. So I'm doing these online events, and there's this small Facebook community that I had started for the people that had participated in those events. It's 150 people in the group. And I felt like God was telling me, that's what you have left. Focus your energy on that community. And I didn't know how it would turn out.
The fish and the loaves, right? Yeah. You're the little boy coming to the, I got fish and the loaves. So let's just see how God multiplies this.
Let's see how God multiplies it. And it was actually perfect because there were so many people that were looking for something productive to do. that had these dreams to write and publish their book. And the community just continued to grow. Like, I wish I could say that I was doing all these things right from a marketing perspective. And I was doing some things right. But the growth that we saw could only be explained by God's providence and God's hand. Mm-hmm. So
it went from his favor over that. Yes.
His favor over that. It went from 150 mm-hmm. to 500 and 1,000. Like, it just kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And I'm like, wow, look at what God has done. And I would have never anticipated that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how did that growth and that favor, how did that come into your next business? I mean, were you helping people publish their books? Did you have a publishing company?
Yeah. So no. Okay. But yes, initially.
Just trying to connect the dots.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what mm-hmm. I say. Like, I'm telling you, that no from 2013 was prophetic in so many ways. And it success, mm-hmm. I tell people, is not a straight line. So I don't have this story where everything neatly fits together. So what ended up happening?
Well, that's kind of good because nobody really does. But I feel like if you had one that neatly fit together, we'd all be like, okay, pause, ditch this podcast. Right, right, she's got it all perfect.
So, no, I don't. Mm-hmm. So initially I thought that's what we would do. We would mm-hmm. help people write and publish books. And I had met someone that was really good at publishing. And we did do a few groups where we helped them to come up with their idea, do their manuscript, get it published. So did that for a while, but I really, as I worked through that, I was like, I don't know if this is really what I'm supposed to be doing. This is a, mm-hmm. this doesn't quite feel at peace along this path.
Mm-hmm. So maybe it was a little clunkier, a little harder, didn't quite have that anointing on it, right?
No.
The ease, the energy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so I'm supposed to work with these people, but maybe I'm not really focus on the writing and publishing. And what we started to do is just really asking the community as we were interacting with people. And I had some, when I say mm-hmm. I had some VAs that were helping me. As we were interacting with people, we started to see this continual theme of, hey, actually, I do need help with writing sometimes, but I really, really need help with marketing. So what we ended up doing was helping people learn how to leverage mm-hmm. social media to get their message out. We started helping people to get booked on podcasts because that would provide more visibility for their work. And we did training and workshops around the marketing component. So that's where we really focused our energy. So again, thinking, hey, this looks like it's picking up. It's going on the right track. This is going to all work out. Now, fast forward to May 2022. I go home for Mother's Day. My mom mm-hmm. does not look like her normal self. She is not moving around very much. She's staying in her room a lot. The energy, the vibrancy that I'm used to seeing isn't there. And I beg her, please make a doctor's appointment because clearly something is not right.
Something's
here.
Off. Mm-hmm.
Something is off. She is resistant and we go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, I'm not going back to Charlotte. She's in Virginia. I'm not going back to Charlotte until you agree to make us a doctor's appointment. She promises, Tam, all right, I will make the doctor's appointment. And then once she had the doctor's appointment, I knew why she was so resistant because she knew something was wrong, but she was afraid. Mm-hmm. There was so much going on with the pandemic. People were afraid to go to doctors, all kinds of things, right? Mm-hmm. Long story short, she was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. The doctor mm-hmm. said, you have a 50-50 chance of being here 1 year from now. Wow. So, yeah. That was a lot,
That's
right?
That's a game changer.
That mm-hmm. is a game changer. That was a lot mm-hmm. to hear. So all of the mm-hmm. things that I thought were going to happen, the things that I had planned, that I thought, hey, we're going to do this and that with Christian Authors Network, all of that was on
the building,
pause.
The marketing, the hustling.
All of that was on, like, mm-hmm. In my mind, there was no other answer than I need to focus my time, effort, and energy on being there for the person who is always there for me. So I mm-hmm. literally picked up everything from Charlotte. I moved back to Virginia. I had basically VAs managing the work that we were doing at the Christian Authors Network. It wasn't perfect, but we made it through it. And I wouldn't make a different decision. That in my mind, I needed to be there for her and provide the support that she needed. So going through that journey with mom was, you're absolutely right. It was a game changer. It changed the way I looked at everything. And so, long story short, my mom ends up passing in April of 2023. So we're recording this in April. She passed away on April 16th, 2023, which was the day before my 49th birthday. So imagine, you know, you're dealing with the loss of your hero one day, and then you're supposed to turn around and celebrate life.
That was very incongruent.
So that that was the conundrum that I was getting. And by the way, this is another April. So Aprils end up being interesting time frames for me. So yeah, so it put me in a place of, okay, and I think about some of the conversations that I had with my mom. A lot of them were about goals and dreams, what my hopes were, you know, she talked, asked her to talk about, you know, things that she would have done differently, knowing then what she knew, like, would she change anything? So we're having all these, you know, deep, thoughtful conversations. And once she had passed and she was no longer here, I was kind of confronted with that even at a deeper level of, okay, what do you really want to do with the time that you have left? Because what I learned from her is nothing is guaranteed. You can have all these great plans of what you think is going to happen, but life can throw you a curveball. So since you don't know how much time you have left, what do you want to do? And then that's what set me on a journey of really thinking about, okay, I love what I'm doing with the Christian Authors Network. Is this the project, though, that I really want to focus all of my time
and energy that lights
on?
Me up, that I feel God prepared me for this. Before you jump into that, how was your mom's faith at the end? You talked about her becoming a believer and you followed her in faith. What was it like for her knowing that she had probably 365 days left?
Yeah.
And how did you navigate that zone with your faith, with the Lord?
Yeah, it was a journey. So I think when we first got the diagnosis, her first response was to fight. And that's the, you know, the example that I really take away from it. She didn't just say, oh, this is it. You know, you've said this over my life, and so I might as well give up. Her first reaction was to fight, both spiritually and practically. So she's spending time in the Word. She's praying. She was a pastor. She's still leading church. She's still having Bible study. She's still doing all the things that she would normally do. And I would say leaning even more so with the diagnosis. But also practically, it was very, very hard for her, but we were taking walks. We were working on, you know, eating healthier. We were trying to do the things that we knew to do in order to give her the best chance. You know, she elected to take chemotherapy because her thought was, well, God could work through this as well, right? So her faith was strong. I think what was challenging for her was when you get to the point where you realize that the thing that you're believing for, which is the turnaround, is not what's going to happen. And I think that was where it was the hardest part for me to see her have that realization. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, it was actually strangely a moment for me to draw closer to God, because I knew, number one, all the things that I was juggling to be solo caretaker was not humanly possible. My mom wanted to continue to work, but she literally worked until 2 weeks prior to her passing. So I took her to every appointment. I did all the cleaning. I did all the cooking. I did all the grocery shopping while still juggling my business, like all of these things, right? So the only way that I got through that was God helping. I found myself gravitating towards some things from my youth, the old hymns that I thought were, these songs are whack.
Old and dated. And,
they were coming back and they were providing comfort. So I just felt like it was somehow drawing me in.
Because in the beginning, you're talking about, I just accepted the Lord because he became my savior for fire insurance. Like, I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. But then at some point in our lives, if we have time to think about it, we are going to heaven. I mean, so we can kind of say, hey, I accepted the Lord, just kind of fire insurance. And sometimes we make that sort of like a lesser thing. And yes, Jesus is Lord of your life. Like, there is there is a sanctification and a conversion space that we experience as followers, you know, before we die.
Yeah.
But then if God gives us time and we are looking down the lens of, I will be dying soon. Sometimes life is taken and we don't know, but oftentimes in your mother's case, she's doing that. And then your faith kind of shifts back to that space of, okay, I'm going to heaven. Like, what is that? And why is that amazing? And I'll see Tam there again someday. I mean, that's what I believe, you know, it's just an interesting nuance or reality of faith. I think that is, you just hold it. I don't know. I'm just observing it. I'm holding it because it's tricky. But what it did was make you kind of reevaluate your life.
Yes.
So you knew, like, speaking of hard decisions, this wasn't a hard decision. I pick up, I go home, I take care of mom.
No, that one was
mom
hard.
Passes away. And all of a sudden you have this, you know, kind of reset moment. Am I doing what I'm meant to do? Am I doing what I'm loving? Am I doing what really God's hand is at work on? And so what conclusion did you come to?
Yeah.
This was a couple of years ago now.
Yeah. So the conclusion that I came to was, while I loved the Christian Authors Network work that I was doing, I didn't feel, as I continued to sit with it, like, this is it. This is the thing that I should focus on. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like, okay, well, what is it? And I did not have an immediate answer. But again, God brings things back to our memory. So like I shared with you, I had had these great conversations with my mom. That's one of the amazing things about moving back. It wasn't an easy journey at all, but I so treasure those conversations. Mm-hmm. And one of the conversations that we had was, okay, if you could do anything, like, no matter what, like, money's no, you don't have to worry about money, like, all these things, what would you do? And
love that question.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites. Yes.
And so then it took me back to conversations that we had had prior when I was watching the Shark Tank. She was always fascinated with, well, why, you know,
that's my hotel room show. That's everybody's got a hotel room show, right? Where you just, like, throw it on. It's either like The Office or Shark Tank. Love that show. Okay. So Shark Tank.
So it took me back to Shark Tank. And at first she thought that the reason that I like Shark Tank is because I wanted to be one of the founders that were on the show that were pitching their idea. And then she realized, oh no, that's not really what you want. You actually want to be one of the sharks. So, like, I want to be one of the investors. I want to be one of the sharks because I feel like they have learned so much from their own businesses, and they're able to share that wisdom and help these founders kind of get to the next level. The difference, though, that I wanted to bring into it is because by that point, my faith had become such a central part of my life, is I wanted to do that from a faith-based perspective. So my version of it was, well, let's help, you know, faith-based entrepreneurs and nonprofit founders and social enterprises that truly want to glorify God through their business or their work. And so when that came back to me, like, wow, well, another thing that had happened is, unbeknownst to me, my mom had made these wise financial decisions. And because of what she saw, I had no idea, because of what she saw over that time that I had spent with her, she decided to leave me an inheritance. Now, I had grown up all this time, had no idea. It literally never crossed my mind that there would be anything to inherit.
A penny.
Nothing. Yeah. I thought, hey, Tam, it's based on what you do and all of that.
We are rich in relationship, but that's it.
Right. So now, you know, she's made this decision and I have some flexibility to really choose, like, okay, what do you want to do? And so that's what led me down the path of founding Beaconship, to say, hey, I want to be a part of helping these founders to get their, you know, their venture off the ground, or if it is already off the ground, how do I help them to kind of grow? So because I've had all of these experiences, I've learned a lot of what doesn't work. I've spent all this time studying the Shark Tank in my corporate career. There was a lot of time preparing pitches and getting executives to sign off on multi-million dollar projects. So I'd had all these experiences and I was like, well, Tam, I mean, it's kind of in my mind, it was like, it's now or never. Like, what are you waiting for? Right. You have the opportunity, you have choices, you have options. You have some skills and talents that you can use. The only thing that's stopping you from pursuing this path and doing this is just fear of the unknown. And that's when I had to really just own that and be like, okay, this is just fear that's stopping me. And what's the worst that can happen?
Right.
Okay. You can totally bomb at it. It cannot work out, but at least you will have,
yeah,
have tried.
You won't have regrets. Won't have regrets. And I feel like that's one of the things in my life of faith is that if God puts something on my heart and I feel like the Holy Spirit is just speaking that clearly, like there's an idea that just feels highlighted, kind of pops off the page in my brain, I've learned that in some way, shape, or form, I have to try it. And it's tough because in the business world, a lot of people would say, and I feel this sort of balancing act here. Yeah. You got to do your market research and you got to know what the people want.
Yep.
And I'm like, yes. And God gave me this idea. And if I don't do it, I will always wonder what would have happened. So there's been plenty of things that I've done that I've tried something or offered. Let's try this webinar. Let's try this offer. I mean, it kind of has a little lift off the ground and then nothing. Then there's other things that like God's over time soaked the fire and they have grown. But I don't regret any of the decisions that I've made because I've been following the Holy Spirit the whole time. Okay. Yeah. So Beacon Ship. So walk me through like on a practical level, how does this work? Like who is coming to Beacon Ship and how do you help them?
Yeah. So the first part starts with the podcast. So I had these conversations with people to say, okay, if I were to do this, you know, what are some things that would help you? And one of the things that I heard consistently was, I see people accomplish these things, but I don't know how they get there. Like, how do they get from point A to point B? And so that's where the idea for the show came to be, because now I could sit down with people just like you and I are sitting down right now, just like you're asking me these great questions about my life and journey. I could ask the people that they admire those same types of questions and have them share their wisdom so that hopefully I get clarity on some things that I have been struggling with. Maybe you might save me from making some decisions that maybe I shouldn't make, but also getting some encouragement to know that I'm not the only one that's gone through these valley experiences. And when I am in that space of the unknown, I'm actually in good company because every person that I sat down with and interviewed on the Beacon Show, whether they were award-winning actresses and actors, TV producers, or leading multi-million dollar companies.
Craft, huh?
All of them still had moments of doubt and uncertainty, and they didn't know what to do, but they leaned into their faith to be able to make these tough decisions. And so that's part of it, is just creating a platform where those that have achieved a level of success that's almost enviable, the people that we look up to, having them share their wisdom with the next generation of leaders. The second, were you going to ask a question?
No, I do love that because I feel like if God's given you a vision and you see someone else ahead of you and sort of walking out that vision on earth, it might not look exactly the same. I love that you're saying, hey, don't just discount it. Like, well, that was them. They get the lucky tick, the golden ticket, and I don't. I mean, God's like, I've put this vision in you for a reason. You just don't have the same life circumstances or maybe opportunities, but you can learn from them. And
that's
so you now, Tam, you are a voice piece to close that gap for people and say, you might not be on the red carpet, like literally getting an Oscar. You might not, but you can head toward that vision that God's given you that's in the same kind of space as that person. So you're speaking faith, you're speaking life, you're speaking possibility into the culture, into the atmosphere, which is what we need. Otherwise, we just kind of shrivel up and go, well, that's not going to work for me. So that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. Okay. Number two.
Yeah. So that's a big part of it. That's the part that really lights me up is having these great conversations and getting to know people's backstory, and they've got all the twists and turns I've got, and they still ended up where they are now. Right. So that's a huge part of it. But then I also realized that component that I talked about where there's the investor that is able to, you know, speak from experience and say, you know, here's some things that you ought to consider. I realized, though, that is a goal for me, but there's a lot that I have to learn. So I started to hang around more people that are investment minded. I started going to pitch competitions, both locally and
how do they make
the
those
US.
Decisions?
How
do they discern between pitches which one's the one that has the possibility? I'm always fascinated by that on Shark Tank. I'm like, how do they know?
How do they know?
So how do you know? How do you know?
So I started sitting down with all of these leaders and going to these conferences and all this. And I realized that it really took me back to some of my early experiences in banking when I was underwriting loans. These investors have a scorecard. There are things that they are consistently looking for no matter what venture they're evaluating.
It's like an Olympic judge. I mean, somebody gets on the ice, you're looking for this move, this move. I mean,
yes.
A scorecard.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely. Okay. Mm-hmm. But just like from my days in banking, when I was making those decisions, whether it was a car loan or a mortgage loan, there's a degree of mystery to it, right? You know whether you get approved or declined, or you got to provide additional information, but you don't really know what's on the scorecard and how you can position yourself unless someone teaches you.
Top secret.
Yeah. Right? You don't know how you can position yourself to get approved, right? Uh-huh. And you might know, I should have a decent credit score and I don't want to be late on my payments, but there's still so much ambiguity in that. Mm-hmm. So the other place that Beaconship serves in is taking the things that I've learned from hanging out in the investor community. And as I step into that world and I'm learning more and more about how to make wise investments, being able to pass that wisdom down to founders. So I get an opportunity to partner with faith-based nonprofits and incubators and accelerators and kind of bring that perspective. So right now I'm getting to work with a great organization here in Charlotte, the Charlotte Redemptive Entrepreneurship Guild. And we're working with a group of 7 founders from pre-launch. They're in that idea stage to those that are up and running and have been able to generate millions of dollars, but they're still trying to figure out, how do I tell my story? So it's interesting. Some of the same things that were really, really important to being able to tell your story as a Christian author are very relevant to these founders as they learn to tell the story of their venture, how to cast a vision, how to help people understand what they need, why they need it. Have they thought through all of the components, right? It's really just a book in a different form. So I'm getting to bring all of
Telling the story.
I'm getting to bring all of the, and this is where, kind of going back to your questions and your statements before, this is where I'm seeing all of the experiences from the corporate environment to all the things that I've done in entrepreneurship, the hopes and dreams, the conversation. The conversations I've had with my mom. I'm seeing all of that converge into this space that is Beaconship.
That's really beautiful.
And then there's still stuff I don't know. Like, you know, we talked about just briefly in the beginning, the Grasp Faith framework. I am still seeking God about what Beaconship is to become. I can't say that I have it all figured out. Those are the things that I know. And I'm just trusting as I continue to follow his leading that the rest will be revealed. And I'm just taking it one step at a time.
Okay. I love that. Yes. One of my favorite questions to ask towards the end is, what are you currently asking God to speak into? How are you asking to hear his voice? And I think you're answering that. It's about Beaconship. Yeah. What is this? How is it evolving? What is it meant to look like practically on this earth?
Yes.
And you're building it right now.
Yeah, I'm building it as I go along, which isn't always comfortable, right? Because I would prefer to know all the things that I'm supposed to do and how it's supposed to work. I'm a planner, right? But what I am learning is, you might be able to plan some of it, but you don't know a lot.
But the true nature of an entrepreneur, honestly, is that. Like if someone says, hey, should I take a risk? Should I build a business? I mean, I would say the first thing is, are you okay not knowing everything?
That's right.
And if someone says, nope, I need to know the end from the beginning, I would say, then you need to pick a different job.
Yeah.
Because this is not for you. I mean,
every day is going to be something.
That's my experience. Right.
Yeah.
So, okay. The Grasp framework. So I don't want to leave listeners hanging because I did mention that in the beginning. So just tell us, what is this Grasp business?
Yeah. So it really came out of this journey as I was seeking God for the direction for Beaconship. Some things that I realized, you know what, I was getting ahead of God. And so he literally downloaded this process of making decisions to help me and I believe others be able to navigate. So here's how we break it down. G okay. is gather information. And when I say mm-hmm. that, sometimes people think, okay, well, that's pulling reports and it's research. You talked about market research earlier. It is, but it's also asking great questions to really mm-hmm. understand, just like you alluded to, what am I really getting myself into? So if I'm thinking about entrepreneurship, what does the life of an entrepreneur look like? I might need to talk to some people that are entrepreneurs to get information from them so that I really understand, like, what would my life be like, right? So it's gathering information so that you can mm-hmm. be informed as you move forward. The Perfect. Next piece is to reflect. And that has become increasingly important for me is I stop and not just I've gathered this information and run off and do something. Let me create mm-hmm. the space for the pause, reflect on the information that I've gained, continue to seek God about, okay, what is this data? What is this information? The people that I've talked to, what am I supposed to be taking from this? Mm-hmm. Because I don't want to just look at it at face value and make assumptions, but God, what are you showing me? What are you telling me through what I have gathered? A is ask God for guidance. So of course, we've been asking him for guidance all along, but this is creating intentional space where it's not about pulling more reports or asking for more information. It's just, God, what is it that you would have me to do? Mm-hmm. And then mm-hmm. creating the space for him to speak. Again, not this is me. Easy for me to do is to run off. I saw a sign. Mm-hmm. I met someone. They said this. That must mean God wants me to do X, Y, and Z. And so I've had to learn to slow down and make sure, okay, is what I think I'm hearing aligning with what I know to be true about scripture? Let me do mm-hmm. some Bible study around that. Let me talk to my spiritual advisor. I ended up getting a spiritual advisor. Let me mm-hmm. kind of run that by her and see if this seems to be in alignment, right? So really making sure that I'm asking God for guidance and not allowing my own ambitions and my mm-hmm. own thoughts to kind of guide my steps. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
S is strategize wisely. And the wisely is really, really important because you can come up with strategic plans. You can say, okay, I'm going to do this in 30, 60, 90 days. But the element of wisdom is really important. And for me, what I find is that means I need a sounding board. I need some mm-hmm. people to poke holes in what it is that I'm looking to do.
Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And what I find a lot of times is through that process, a couple of things can happen. One, either I'll realize what I originally thought was an amazing idea, may not be an amazing idea, or like you've talked about, I still feel called to do this, but thank you for sharing that with me because I mm-hmm. didn't think about that. So now I need to really spend time with God to figure out where does this fit in? What do I need to do? You know, things like that, right? So mm-hmm. the wisdom often comes through connecting with others that have experiences and insights that I don't have. And then mm-hmm. once I've taken those intentional steps, the P is proceed in faith. Now, it doesn't mean that I have all of the answers, that I have every I dotted or T crossed, but what I have done, to use an investor term, is I've done my due diligence, right? I've tried mm-hmm. my best, right? And now I have to release it because I've done what I know to do. I've been asking God as I'm going along. And now I have to proceed in faith and trust that whatever I don't know about, whatever I didn't anticipate, that God is big enough to carry me through it. And so that yeah. is the Grasp Faith framework.
I love it. I'm like, wait, that's what I'm doing all the time. I'm like, oh, we're speaking the same language. I just didn't have a cool acronym like you.
Yeah. And what I've yes. found is just, but having the acronym helps me because now I can yeah. go back and say, did I really do everything yeah. that I needed to do instead of just
all of those pillars? Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
Well, I have to say, I mean, my heart is for people to be able to hear God's voice. And in my work, and maybe you've run into this too, is a lot of people kind of will get stuck in that asking phase.
Yeah.
How do I hear God's voice? How do I know if it's his voice or my voice?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you know, that could be a whole other episode of really getting into scripture and learning what his voice sounds like. But for practical purposes, the book that I wrote called Untangled Faith mm-hmm. is all about learning to hear God's voice and how you having an honest conversation with him mm-hmm. and then learning to receive the wisdom of the Holy Spirit will bring clarity and peace and confidence to move forward. So there is a journaling framework that's like, hey, if anybody out there is getting stuck in the ask piece, how do you hear his voice? How do you begin to like write down your thoughts, reflect and journal with him, hear things back? And then this framework also brings you to a space of strategy. So, okay, I've heard his voice. I'm going to kind of confirm it. Again, it's not in a vacuum. So I love that you said, talk to your spiritual advisor, because if we can only highlight one thing, I think it is the depth of what is hearing God's voice and the connectivity of the body of Christ, because he did not create us to just live in isolation. I think weird things happen in isolation.
Yes,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? God 100%. Told me to do this. And therefore, now, if you're a prophet, that's a whole different line of work.
Yeah.
but I love what you're offering people. I think that framework is incredible. And so if someone is wanting to connect with you, how would they do that? Mm-hmm. And how would they know if Beacon is something that they should be checking out?
Yeah. So first, I'd encourage the community to check me out at beaconship.co. That's our website. You can also find the Beacon Show, where I talk a lot about the GRASS framework and have these great conversations with amazing leaders, on YouTube and anywhere you listen to audio podcasts. I also hang out on social media, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. And when you're on the website, you can join our community. The main way that I communicate with people is through our email list. So that's where I'm sharing insights, breaking down things like the GRASS faith framework. And then as God speaks to me about more about the direction, that will be the first way that I reach out to people to help them know how they can get more involved.
Okay, perfect. I love it. Will you do me a favor? Will you do us a favor and pray
absolutely.
To close our time together and really kind of lean into whatever God vision he gives you for who might be listening, what they might glean from this conversation, and what God wants to impart right now to them in this space?
Absolutely.
Do you mind?
I'd love to. No, I'd love to.
Thanks.
Father God, thank you for this time of fellowship and sharing. I thank you for taking us back in time and helping us to see how the many experiences that we've had were all intentional, and how you were leading and guiding and nudging us all along the way. And I just pray that as those that are watching or listening reflect on the things that have been shared, that they can see the same things in their life, to know that they are not alone, no matter how they may feel, that you are there with them, that you are leading and guiding them, that you are nudging them, and that you have a plan for their life. And the plan is good, even when it doesn't look good or feel good. Help them to create the space to hear your voice. Give them insight on where they can best hear you. Are there certain places where they hear you more clearly? Are there things that they need to turn off? Or are there some people that they may need to step away from? Whatever it is that is standing in the way, I ask that you will reveal that to them. Give them clarity. And then, God, give them courage. Courage to make the tough decisions. The courage to step boldly into what you show them that you have for their life, knowing that you will be there to lead them and guide them, that you will catch them when they fall, and that you will continue to make ways, that you will provide, that they don't have to worry about how all of the pieces come together. They don't have to worry about where all of the money is going to come from. Yes, do your research, do your due diligence. But know that your God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think. So be of good courage. These things we ask and receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen and amen. Your God can do exceedingly abundantly more. So I love it. I can't wait to see how Beacon evolves. Yeah, I feel God's hand on it. And thank you for sharing your story with us. And can't wait to share it with the world.
Thank you for having me here. It's been a great time of sharing. Thank you.
Thanks. See ya.
See ya.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode. You might be wondering, well, now what? Let me offer a few suggestions. Number one, who were you thinking about while you were listening to this episode? If someone crossed your mind because you think this would inspire, challenge, or encourage them, share it right now. Number two,
If you think it's worth other people's time to find and listen to this show, please head to Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, rate us and leave a review. It will help people around the world know if it's worth their time to come hang out with us. And number three, if you are ready to get aligned with the voice of God, anchored in your identity in Christ, and activated in your next bold step of faith, head to my website, meganbnilsen.com. You can read about my books, see any courses I'm offering, and most importantly, schedule your free 30-minute curiosity and connection call today. Let's keep this conversation going.